Gentas presents The Adventurers by Vivian Stewart, performed by Simon Slater. Prologue.
Murdoch Henry MacLean, in view of your youth and the jury's recommendation that you be treated mercifully, the old judge had said, emphasizing his words with an admonitory gesture of a bony forefinger, I shall commute the death sentence pronounced on you. You will instead be transported to the penal colony of New South Wales for the term of your natural life. And, he had added with derisive piety, may God have mercy on you. Seated in the jolting covered wagon, one of a row of fettered prisoners from Winchester Prison, Murdo MacLean recalled the scene in the courtroom with remembered bitterness. True, he had been given his life. He had not been topped like poor old Sepp Todd and Dickie Farmer, his two companions, in the ill-fated hold-up of the London mail coach. But for all that, his dark brows met in a resentful pucker. To what manner of life had he been condemned? Botany Bay, some of the other inmates of the jail had told him, was hell on earth for all who were sent out there as convicted felons. It would be different, of course, for his mother and Jessica and the two bairns. They had gone out with the 73rd Highlanders, and Colonel Lachlan Macquarie, who had been appointed governor of the colony 5 years ago. To the best of his knowledge, all four of them were still in Sydney, forced to accompany his brutal swine of a stepfather, Sergeant Major Duncan Campbell of the 73rd, after he himself had run away. He had it in mind to go out there and join them sooner or later, Murdo reflected, but not, God help him, as a lifer, a wretched convict in chains. The disgrace would break his mother's heart, no doubt of that. She had always been a proud woman, and he and Jessica had been brought up in accordance with her strict code of God-fearing honesty. She would be shocked and appalled if she knew that her only son had been tried and convicted of the crime of highway robbery. Murdo shifted uneasily in his narrow wooden seat. His career on the High Toby with Nick Vincent's boys had been rewarding, and he could not, for his part, regret having embarked on it. Nick had befriended him, given him a home and work, initially as his groom and horseminder at 5 shillings a week. Even that had been better than the miserably paid toil he had been forced to undertake when, as a boy of barely 15, he had fled from his stepfather's bullying into the icy cold of the Glasgow streets in midwinter. He had begged in those streets, had worked briefly in the cattle market and as a drover, and had finally been employed as a roustabout by a foul-mouthed old gypsy peddler with whom he had come south to Guildford. And there the old skinflint had abandoned him, Murdo recalled bitterly, without settling their score, and making off with the only decent garment he possessed, his oilskin jacket. It had been when he was penniless and near to starvation that Nick Vincent, giving him his horse to mind outside an inn where he had halted to refresh himself, had taken pity on him and offered him work. "I can use a likely lad who knows how to handle horses," he had said, and had then added with a tight-lipped smile, "so long as he don't ask too many questions, and knows how to keep his mouth buttoned up. Think you'd fit the bill, eh?" He had accepted without hesitation, Murdo reminded himself. He had asked no questions, and had kept a careful guard on his tongue. Even when he had found out the true nature of his master's profession, he had continued to work for him hard and willingly. And a year later, when he was 17, Nick had accepted him as a fully-fledged member of the gang. It was a large gang, and a well-organized one, the hold-ups, as a rule, meticulously planned and efficiently carried out. But the night he and Todd and Farmer had robbed the London mail coach outside Winchester, Sepp Todd had been careless. In his cups that same night, he had talked too freely. An informer had heard his drunken boasting with the result that the law had at last caught up.